possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
97.1 FM Talk. Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome in on a Friday, a few minutes after 7. Always remember, you can podcast the show. Every segment is put up on the podcast there, 971talk.com. If you're on the Odyssey app, we try to make it easy for you. Wherever you download your podcast, just go look for the Mark Cox Morning Show. We were giving our friend Griff Jenkins a little bit of grief earlier. Ethan pointed out that Griff is filling in for Brian Kilmeade today on Fox and Friends. I guess it's Kilmeade he's filling in for.
Yeah.
I looked up earlier and I saw him anchoring, and you know that last week on Sunday he gave us a name drop. He name dropped the Mark Cox Morning Show when he was on Fox and Friends Weekend with Senator Eric Schmidt. So I've played that a couple times this week. I played it for Griff yesterday, and I texted him this morning, and I'm like, listen, great job this morning. Ethan and I are going to pool our money and send you a great bottle of bourbon if you can figure out a way to name drop the Mark Cox Morning Show again on Fox and Friends. And he texted me back, thanks, brother, and laughed at what I said. So we're going to have to pay attention here, Ethan, and see if he comes up with an excuse to mention his friend Mark Cox in St. Louis this morning.
That'd be awesome if he doesn't.
We'll play this game because, you know, Griff fills in across the board for a lot of people on Fox. So there's plenty of opportunities for him to get us a little nationwide coverage here.
That man works more than I think anybody ever does.
Boy, I'm telling you.
He is always on TV.
He's on. Between he and Kilmeade. I mean, right. Kilmeade's off doing other things sometimes. Griff is just like a utility player. He can play any position. They move him around. I've seen him on the couch. I've seen him host Fox and Friends in the morning. He's just fills in all over the place.
He's filled in on the radio for Kilmeade.
Sure. Yeah. He started in radio, in fact, with I think as the producer for Oliver North many years ago on radio. Huh. And others through Fox, so that's been great. Anyway, my daughter's giving me grief because I jokingly said to Sue earlier how lucky my wife was to have me. It was tongue-in-cheek, clearly. Even your mother would recognize that.
But also true.
Dear daughter. But also true, in one sense. I'm just kidding. I'm gonna talk more about this a little later in the show when I have a little bit more time, but... A broadcasting legend died yesterday. I just found out about it yesterday. I assume that he died yesterday. Maybe it was the day before. But his name was Gary Burbank. And I don't know if most people in St. Louis were even aware of him. He did do some nationally syndicated stuff for a while. But he was a man of 1,000 voices. I grew up listening to this guy in Cincinnati. He worked at 700 WLW. He was friends with Bill Cunningham there, who we air Bill's show on Sunday nights here. He used to air after my show when I did the Sunday night show from 7 to 9, and then Bill Cunningham would come on, and we still air his show on Sunday nights. But Gary Burbank was a longtime legend, particularly in the Cincinnati market. But then he did some he created these characters. One of them was Earl Pitts. And I don't know if you remember Earl Pitts or not. Earl Pitts, American. And he would, you know, he's just a flag-toting, beer-drinking character who loved America. And he would just come up with these common-sense bits. And some of them were just flat-out hilarious. He used to do, you may have heard me refer to this before, he used to do a piece about the Cincinnati Bengals. And he would talk about Paul Brown, the owner of the Bengals, and his son Mike, and he called him the aging tight-fisted patriarch of the Cincinnati Bengals, Paul Brown, and his ne'er-do-well son Mikey Boy, because even 30 years ago when I lived in that area, the Bengals ownership was notorious for being tight-fisted. They wouldn't spend any money on anything. So maybe we need Gary Burbank. We need some character like Gary Burbank to start harassing the Cardinals, who don't seem to want to spend any money on any big talent to get him in here. Because I mean, the Bengals, he was constantly a burr in their side when he would do this stuff on WOW in Cincinnati. I'm going to play you a little clip from Gary Burbank, and he was really one of the most talented guys in the business for so long, and he passed away at age 84, and I'm always going to remember him because when I worked early in my TV career, I worked at WKEF Channel 22 in Dayton, Ohio, and at the time, we were horrified by this. But management hired Gary Burbank to come up and record a segment each week as Earl Pitts American. And he would wear a red, white, and blue shirt and a hat, and he would sit on the news desk, and he would do a segment. And, you know, it had nothing to do with the news. It was just comedy. But looking back on it, I love the fact that I got to know Gary Burbank because of that segment he used to come up and tape there on the local TV station in Dayton, Ohio, when I worked there many years ago. All right. I'll play that for you coming up here just a little bit later. Lots of stuff in the news today. Of course, we're going to get to Jim Carafano coming up shortly. We got Congressman Bob Onder on the Capitol beat here at the bottom of the hour. And, of course, we're going to give away our Doobie Brother tickets just a little bit later this morning. So be sure and stick around for that, please. Right now, though, Ethan, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
What it is. I'm sorry. You want me to prove I'm not evil to own a gun, but I'm a bigot because I want you to prove you're not crazy because you want to change your identity. Those two things don't line up for you. I don't get that.
Yeah, Joey Jones going sideways on the five last night, making some really good points, particularly when it comes to school security. And you won't believe what Tim Walz did yesterday.
I'm a mayor, and I operate in the reality business. And the reality is that we have more guns in America than we have people.
This guy, this character actor named Jacob Fry, the Minneapolis left-wing mayor, of course, pivots to the gun. It had to have been the gun and not the nut, and the fact that you have created a sanctuary city for people with in mental health crisis.
Look, what I will say about this individual is that her lawyer's statement made it abundantly clear themselves that she was not aligned with the president's mission to make America healthy again.
Yeah, Caroline Levitt, I love that. Calling out Jen Psaki for making fun of people called out Jen Psaki for making fun of people praying in the wake of this disaster in Minneapolis. Good for you, Caroline.
Kilmer Abrego will be deported. Him and his attorneys are putting off the inevitable. But if the judge rules on the statute, if the judge rules on the law, he's going to go home.
Yeah. He's going to go to Uganda is where he's going to be his new home. That's going to happen. I think it's just a temporary delay here by some activist Barack Obama appointed judge. He's trying to delay the inevitable as long as he can. Let me get back to that first soundbite from Joey Jones. I thought he did such a good job on this yesterday. He talked about a couple of things, including gun bans and why they don't work. I mean, the insanity of it is, and I saw this meme yesterday, it's like the picture of the cast of the game Clue. Remember when you had to try to figure out where the guy was killed? Did Mr. Mustard do it in the library with the candlestick holder? And it shows them all around the candlestick holder, pointing to the candlestick holder and blaming it for the murder instead of the person that committed the murder. That's what's going on with the left right now on this Minneapolis shooting. They're not blaming the mentally deficient individual that committed the crime. They're trying to blame the gun, which is total nonsense. Joey Jones called him out also for not hardening their schools. Everybody in America ought to do this. Apparently, the Minnesota Catholic leaders warned Tim Walz about school safety 2 years ago after the Nashville shooting, and Tim Walz did absolutely nothing because Tim Walz doesn't like the idea of armed guards in schools. He thinks that weaponizes schools. Are you kidding me? That's not the height of stupidity. Listen to Joey Jones yesterday.
But the actual win, the saving children's lives, is what Trump's doing in D.C. right now. The actual win, the saving children's lives, is mandating fortification of our most precious individuals in this country. What's the average salary of a police officer? What, $50,000? Not even that in most rural places. We can't pony up to put an RSO at every school to make sure every school has an armed guard out front of it. No, that makes our gun feel like prisons. Okay, well, you know what? You don't like the National Guard picking up trash in D.C. You'd rather it look like a wasteland with people crapping their pants right in front of the Capitol. If we're looking at optics here, you know, I would like to not walk past the drug-using trash I walk past to get to my hotel.
Yeah, it's true. You go Joey Jones. He read him the Riot Act there yesterday on the 5. That was a must-see episode if you missed that last night, because he ripped the liberal a new one for sure. All right, coming up, we'll get to Jim Carafano on several things, including this whole border security issue, which I think is pretty fascinating from a security expert. I mean, he's a national security expert, among other things, and we'll get Jim's thoughts on how quickly Donald Trump was able to turn that around. And a little later, Congressman Bob Onder will join us. We'll be right
back. At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Get back.
I think President Trump's been clear. He wants to be asked, I think, to come in. I think it's the politics of this is shocking, I'll be honest with you. I can't actually believe the Democrats are on the wrong side of another 80-20 issue, which is cracking down on violent crime. You have a president now who's taken on issues that people said were intractable, that were problematic, you couldn't solve. The problem at the border, remember they said that Joe Biden threw his hands up, said, I can't do anything about it. President Trump came in, we've solved the border crisis. Now you've got this crime in one of the, you know, the worst crime cities in America, Washington, D.C., and you have an 85% reduction in carjackings, a 50% reduction in robberies. He's solving the problem. So,
you know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
All right, Jim Carafano back with us from the Heritage Foundation. Jim, how are you on this Friday morning?
Good morning, my friend. I'm sorry, 80-20 is the new what? Right? Everything's 80-20 these days.
It seems to be the breakdown that people like, but the president likes to point out that many of these are probably 90-10 or maybe 95-5 issues, and Donald Trump has convinced Democrats to defend open borders and defend rampant crime in their cities. It's wild.
Right. And, you know, I know we've talked before about the global effect, because, you know, I travel all over the world. And one of the things I'm increasingly seeing is a lot of people looking at the United States and seeing the secure borders, the dealing with illegal immigration, the, you know, putting your economy first, you know, dealing with crime in the cities, and then looking at their politician and go, hey, you know, what are we, you know, Swiss cheese here? Come on, you know, how come you guys can't deliver? So there is a global Trump effect on this. It's crazy.
I've wondered what the reaction's been around the world. You know, I saw that contrast between how European leaders were. Was it Angela Merkel sitting on a desk staring down at Donald Trump back in 2016 or 2017? And, you know, fast forward to this past week or 2 weeks ago when they're all sitting in the Oval Office in front of the Resolute desk, and he's clearly the man in charge. I mean, the leadership difference there, the approach from the European leader standpoint is a miraculous turnaround.
So I'm, you know, it's funny you should mention that, because I'm getting ready to go on Fox Business and talk about Ukraine, and you know, you always bring something new to the table that people haven't heard before. So one of the things I realized is that I've had a number of conversations with some very senior European officials lately, and you know, where a year ago people would say, well, what is Donald Trump going to prove to me, you know, that he is going to support the transatlantic community, he's not going to abandon NATO, and he's not going to abandon Ukraine. And you don't hear that anymore. And not only do you not hear that anymore, when you're in meetings with these folks, with other Americans who, you know, aren't Trump fans, and they say, well, aren't you worried about Trump abandoning NATO or Trump not doing something to Ukraine or, you know, Trump being a reliable security partner? The Europeans just ignore the question and move on. Oh. So clearly, I mean, and these okay, again, this is not your kind of rank and file Yahoo, right, or, you know, the German media or something. These are the people that are managing and running the country and dealing with Donald Trump on a day-to-day basis. And you know, what if there's a Trump derangement syndrome vaccine, you know, apparently they all double dose.
This was Jim. We're talking to Jim Carafano from Heritage. This was Caroline Leavitt yesterday when asked about Vladimir Putin and Mr. Zelensky. Listen.
Both sides of this war are not ready to end it themselves. The president wants it to end, but the leaders of these two countries need it to end and want it to end, must want it to end as well. And I think the president will make some additional statements on this later.
Yeah, so do you think the president's reached the conclusion that neither side really is ready to go to the negotiating table, or they were still bombing Kyiv yesterday?
Right, yeah, sorry. You know, I keep looking for a quiet place where there's no truck, and then it's like a giant truck drives by.
Yeah.
Look, I think the reality is, and I know rhetorically Trump tries to sound balanced, but the reality is the Ukrainians have literally signed up for everything Donald Trump wants. They are totally on board. They're on board with the Europeans. I mean, what they've been very clear about, which I think is very realistic, is why would they give the Russians an inch of territory that the Russians didn't take on the battlefield?
Now, right.
Everybody understands that, you know, they may not be able to, you know, fight back and reclaim all their land the way much of West Germany was, you know, lost during the Cold War. But to ask them to kind of give up their own territory voluntarily, particularly territory that's strategically important for the defense of Ukraine, they're not going to do that. And I think we realize that. So this is really all on Putin. And if you run the table, Putin, you know, if it's he believes the generals are going to win this war in 3 months, or he's holding out for the best deal he can, or he doesn't know what to do. Look at the reality of where we are today. He's not going to win the war in 3 months. The summer offensive is already fizzled out. European-American solidarity is actually stronger. There's no path to the disintegration of support in the West. That's done. He's actually having more problems with his allies. He's put the Indians and the Americans in a crosshair with each other over Russia. That's made the Indians really uncomfortable. It's been bad for them. The Iranians feel that they've been abandoned by the Russians, so there's no love lost there. The Chinese are negotiating with the Americans, and the more aggressive the Russians are, the more difficult it makes for the Chinese. So we say we have no cards to play. Forget that we have no cards to play. No, he has no chips. There's no poker table. There's not even a waitress bringing him a drink. He is sitting there all alone, you know, and he's got a choice. Either he cuts a deal or cuts his losses and accepts that, you know, he is not going to get everything he wants. Or Trump will run him into the ground. And I've said this before. This is not the Donald Trump that you want to face. When Donald Trump walks into a situation and it's win-win, okay, no deal, Trump's going to win anyway because he's going to protect America's interests. Deal, Trump's going to protect America's interests and he's going to get a Nobel Peace Prize. You never want to face Donald Trump where he wins, you know, whether the roulette ball comes up, you know, red or black. That's not a place to be in. Putin's in a bad, bad place, I think.
Well, that's an interesting point of view. That's why we love having you on, Jim. Listen, appreciate your time. Have fun on Fox Business.
All right, thanks, friend.
All right, we'll talk soon. J.J. Carafano there from the Heritage Foundation. And if you're watching Fox Business, you'll be able to see him on there very shortly. That's good. You know, I was just talking, I just played that bite earlier with that crazy Nebraska senator who's up ranting about the transgender thing and trying to shut down the Nebraska Senate over it. She's upset. We're going to talk to Congressman Bob Onder. Of course, when he was Senator Bob Onder, he led the fight here to limit these transgender procedures on minors in the state of Missouri. So I'm anxious to get his reaction to this horrible tragedy in Minnesota and the clear health crisis we have in this country. We'll be back.
Anybody who is using this as an opportunity to villainize our trans community or any other community out there has lost their sense of common humanity.
Capital Beat.
We got Congressman Bob Onder on the phone with us. Congressman, that was the mayor of Minneapolis who, among other things, blasted people for daring to pray in the wake of such a tragedy. And, I mean, this guy, talk about somebody who's lost their soul and their direction. This mayor of Minneapolis has shown America what he's made of.
Yeah, that's right, Mark. It's great to be back. You know, this whole narrative that somehow questioning the grooming, the medical malpractice, the vilification of all dissent that is part of the transgender cult. That is what reflects a loss of all humanity, to use his words. You know, this transgender shooter in Minneapolis left behind him a pretty extensive video and paper trail of what was in his head. And I think just the casual reader or viewer of any of that material, which I don't necessarily recommend, it will reveal a person who's obviously mentally ill. And we know he began his transition some time ago. He actually even legally changed his name back in 2020. So he was probably transitioned as an adolescent or thereabouts. And, you know, he left, one of the things he left behind him is that he said that, I wish I had never brainwashed myself into being trans. I regret being trans. I'm tired of being trans. But to cut my hair right now would be an embarrassing defeat. I'll probably cut it off on the day of the attack. You know, this kid needed had mental illness and needed serious psychological and psychiatric help. But no, the transgender clinic or the Planned Parenthood clinic that he went to just rushed him off to medical transition.
It's amazing. I heard the vice president talk about this. This is what I love about this administration. This is what I voted for. Go to cut 20, please, for me there, Ethan. Vice President Vance.
There's going to be time for politics, and there's going to be a time to figure out how to prevent this stuff from happening, how to make these shootings less common in our country. And I'm not going to speak about that now. And if you look, we really do have, I think, a mental health crisis in the United States of America. We take way more psychiatric medication than any other nation on earth. And I think it's time for us to start asking some very hard questions about the root causes of this violence.
What do you think the answer is there, Dr. Onder? The medication, is it the fact that we just ignore reality and let people claim they're a different gender than which they were born? I mean, what are we doing wrong here?
Yeah. The medications are a very, very interesting and I think open question. I don't know the answer to that. We do know that some young teenagers and young adults who take, for instance, SSRIs become more depressed and more suicidal. So it's an open question. And one thing I really like about this administration, including RFK Jr., is questions are being asked. But there is no question whatsoever, Mark, that this narrative by the transgender cult that it is necessary to medically transition kids, give them puberty blockers and wrong sex hormones, somehow that improves mental health or prevents suicide. It's an absolute and complete lie. Let me give you just a really glaring example of that. About 2 years ago, there was a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine that was reported in every major media outlet as showing how beneficial medical transition puberty blockers are to children who have gender dysphoria, who think they're born in the wrong body. Well, it turns out by some measures, by about 2 out of 15 measures that they looked at, maybe there was some improvement in mental health, but 2 of the kids on treatment committed suicide. I mean, that's like, you know, Mrs. Lincoln, other than that, how did you like the play? It is ridiculous the way the transgender left, including many in the medical profession, have distorted and outright misrepresented the actual data. Look, people who are suicidal, who are homicidal, need mental help in a bad way. They don't need puberty blockers and wrong sex hormones. It only makes them worse. And I think finally, the public and the medical establishment in almost half a dozen countries has realized that. But here in the United States, gender clinics are still prescribing these dangerous drugs.
Yeah, it's something that I'm really hoping they pay more attention to. And you know, I'm wondering where else this goes. I don't know if legislation gets introduced, if you've heard any talk of it, but I was thinking back to Sandy Hook, the shooter in that case. His mother gave him access to her weapons. At the end of the game, he killed her, broke into her safe, got the weapon out, shot somebody. Had she lived, I think she would have had to bear some of the responsibility for what happened in that situation. In this case, this kid's mother is still around. There's no way you could have been around this kid and not realize something was wrong. When do we start holding the parents responsible to some extent?
Well, we do know that she was supportive of this transition from a boy to a girl, and supported his change in name. So I think I'll just assume she was well-meaning, but she only made his mental health worse. But yes, I mean, we have an existing law. A liability for negligent entrustment, for instance, if you, give the keys of your car to a drunk driver or what have you. But I think in some of these cases there likely is parental responsibility, but I think there's also responsibility for the healthcare system. I believe that whatever the doctor or clinic that prescribed him wrong sex hormones, maybe puberty blockers, they contributed to the deterioration of his mental health. And I think there's a medical malpractice case here, too.
Yep. We're talking to Congressman Bob Onder. Great to have him on here this morning. Redistricting is still an issue. The governor has not officially announced yet, I don't think, that we're going to have a special session dealing with it. People are expecting that's what may be announced sometime to run concurrent with the veto session. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, well, Mark, I'm 100% for that. In 2022, when we drew our last maps, I was a strong advocate of drawing a so-called 7-1 map, a map that instead of sending two progressive Democrats and six Republicans to Congress, we would send only one Democrat and seven Republicans to Congress. I fought hard for that. Unfortunately, leadership of the House and the Senate were not supportive at the time. But now we have President Trump supporting it. And, I don't know the nature of this call, but this afternoon the congressional delegation will be talking to Governor Kehoe, and I am hopeful that what he's going to be telling us is that he'll be calling a special session for redistricting. But who knows? It may be about hurricane relief or something.
I hope you're right about that. I mean, is that would Emmanuel Cleaver and Wesley Bell be on that call?
I don't think so. No,
okay.
I suspect it's the Republican congressional delegation. And, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, they like Emmanuel Cleaver. He's a nice guy. And I would agree with both of those statements. And the fact is, back in the day, he was a more reasonable Democrat. But if you look at his record, certainly during the time I've been there, or even the last 5 or 10 years, Emmanuel Cleaver's voting record is indistinguishable from Hakeem Jeffries, Cori Bush, or Jasmine Crockett. Look, the question is, do we want the Donald Trump make America great again agenda, or do we want 2 years of impeachment hearings run by Jamie Raskin? It's really that stark a choice.
It's a good point. And you looked at those maps on what a 7-1 map would look like. Tell me if I'm wrong about this. The map as it is has to be gerrymandered a little bit to make sure that that's a blue district in Kansas City, correct? Because if it was drawn the way it's should have been drawn, he would have more competition.
I agree with that, 100%. Yeah, if there is a requirement under Missouri's Constitution that districts be, quote, compact and contiguous, not these spaghetti districts like we see over in Illinois or in New York. But the fact is, if you look at the shape of my district, looks like a big Pac-Man. But over in Kansas City, it went out of the way to keep Emmanuel Cleaver in his seat. So the new district will be, I believe, fairer, more compact and contiguous, but most importantly, more representative of Missourians and Missouri values. We in the legislature, we're a super Republican majority state. Every statewide elected office by wide margins voted for Republicans, and most importantly, voted for President Trump and his agenda on November 5th.
Bob, before I let you go, I heard you on one of our other shows the other day. It might have been Reardon. I can't remember. And you said that the Onder family, since moving to D.C., had been subject to at least four property crimes. You guys have been hit by the crime wave in D.C. How's it going now?
Yeah, it's not since moving, but in 2 years.
Okay, in two years.
Basically,
okay.
In the core between running and, yes, one time I think it was just a visit, a vacation. But, in the last 2 years, four property crimes. Twice my wife had her wallet snatched out of her purse. Once, it's a long story, but some jewelry was stolen from the hotel room. And in the last time, our tires were slashed. And I can't help but to think my congressional plate might have had something to do with that. But it's just incredible. And, you know, look, I've looked into getting I carry concealed back here in the district. I've looked into that for D.C., but it's so my fellow congressmen tell me it's so burdensome. So worse than crime rate. The murder rate is higher than Bogota, Colombia, where, you know, the drug cartels live. I really applaud President Trump for taking the crime problem seriously in Washington, D.C. It is an embarrassment.
Hopefully some of our local leaders, whether they're Democrats or not, will accept the fact that what he's doing is working and maybe realize they should do it in their towns. Right? Hint, hint, Kara Spencer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the biggest black eye on the St. Louis region, and I would argue on the whole state, that we can't get the crime problem under control.
I agree. Congressman Onder, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. Good to get him on here. Boy, that's absolutely the truth. Imagine that. Like, two different times Bob's wife was pickpocketed. Allison was pickpocketed on the streets of Washington, D.C. Just a minute. No problem here. Nothing. No problem to see here. Please move along. Good Lord. All right. Coming up, we're going to give away some Doobie Brother tickets before the end of the hour. We've got the Chiefs coming in, not the football team. Former Fire Chief Greg Brown, former Police Chief Mike Wiegand from Eureka, they're going to come in and help us out this morning with the Queen of Hearts drawing. With any luck, they are bringing some fine food from my friends at Chickenelli's down in Eureka, where we're going to be doing the show live on the on 9/11, on the anniversary there in 9/11, and honoring Focus Marine Foundation. So we'll talk more about all.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Of that straight ahead. All right, the Doobie Brothers with Michael McDonald coming to St. Louis are going to be at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on September 4th. That is just around the corner, and we have one final pair of tickets to give away today. And let me see, Ethan, let's pick a nice round number. How about caller number 10 at 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. We'll make James' job easy in there. Caller 10 wins a pair of tickets to see the Doobie Brothers on September 4th. Enjoy. I hope you enjoy that. I got to go down to Ballpark Village for a little while yesterday and have a great time with my friend Smitty and a few other people down there. What a great deal. I tell you, if you've never done this, there's I think it's a $35 ticket you can buy there at Ballpark Village to go down, and it's all you can eat and all you can drink for about 2 hours before the ball game starts.
Nice.
And it's really reasonable. You get a full buffet. You can eat as much as you want, and you can have however many drinks you want for that 2 hour period. And they got a gentleman in there who's basically a stand-up comedian who plays games and gives stuff away and harasses people. And he's just a real smart aleck. And I really enjoyed myself down there yesterday. So my thanks to Smitty for inviting me down to the ballpark, although things didn't work out. Things haven't worked out all that well for the Cardinals this season. We can always hope for next year, right? Speaking of the Cardinals, by the way, congratulations to Mizzou. They had a big win last night. I'm not sure they weren't expected to have a big win last night, but, Pribula, one of the two quarterbacks, looked good. I think the other guy might have gotten injured. I think they were going to play both quarterbacks last night.
Yeah, they were supposed to.
But he had a good night for sure. Maybe it was that defense had something to do with it. But 61-6, wow. But back to my point earlier about Gary Burbank, and I would call him my friend Gary Burbank. I met him a few times. I didn't know him all that well. He died this week at the age of 84. Now, what I didn't realize is that he had technically retired from WLW there in Cincinnati back in 2007. But over the course of his life, he brought a bunch of characters to life. He was just one of those guys that he just had a way with creating characters like Gilbert Gnarly and Earl Pitts, and they were just down-to-earth Americans, and he would roast everybody, including the sports team owners in Cincinnati. The Reds and the Bengals both had a love-hate relationship with him over the years. And I was able to get to know him primarily because he would come up to my TV station when I worked in Dayton, Ohio. It was a Channel 22. I was a news reporter, did a little bit of sports on the side when I worked there all those years ago. And our news director at the time hired Gary Burbank to come up and do a news commentary that would air on Friday nights. And I remember as news reporters, we were pretty horrified by it because he was just a made up character who would then appear on our newscast near the end of the show on Friday nights with his Earl Pitts American character. If you've never heard it, because it was syndicated for a while, I don't know that it was never on this market that I'm aware of, but somebody here locally might have aired it. Here is just a clip of Gary Burbank as Earl Pitts American.
You know what makes me sick? You know what makes me so mad? I just want to leave a trail of blood from a zombie camp. I don't know if y'all been paying attention, but we're just a week or two away from the presidential political year starting in earnest. I don't know if I can take this. I mean, we're about to be standing in more bull crap than a clown at the rodeo. So grab your shovel. It's about to begin. Today, people are idiots. We'll fall for anything. And this year, we're going to prove it. Wake up, America! I never thought I'd say this, but either of these two lying knuckleheads get in there, they're gonna make Barack Obama look like George Washington. I weep for my country. I'm Earl Pitts, America. Pitts off.
He was quite a character. Gary Burbank, the guy behind Earl Pitts, passed away this week at the age of 84. Sad to see Gary go. He was quite a contributor to radio around the country, for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to former Congressman Trey Gowdy. Took some heat this week for his comments on some new laws that might have stopped what happened in Minneapolis. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.